From an undisclosable location for reasons of security and therefore insecurity, this is the first Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM for the new year 2013. 1 year since you allowed me to come upon the bridge of the ever-loving mothership, and what a year it has been. Got to go all the way through 2012 with you. Now, that said, January also marks the month of ship's captain George Norrie doing 10 years on the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. 10 years. And, you know, it's just the perfect amount of it just seems perfect. Those 10 years have gone by, but it was not like, didn't seem like they went by that fast, and didn't seem like they went by like just dragging by. It just was perfectly paced all the way through. And all the people that he has talked to over 10 years, you know, the people that I've been able to talk with, of course, is now dwarfed by 90%, but fabulous run for Captain George Norrie, and delighted to have been able to sit here in this chair with you for the last year. Well, tonight on the program, first, I'm going to take a bunch of your calls, just unscreened, naked lines, and just get your take on, we're not even a week into the new year, and it's already just weird, isn't it? Get into a little bit of that. Let me tell you first that tonight on the program, first-time guest, Dave Gardner will be with us. He's a filmmaker. He's a professional filmmaker. In 35 years, he's produced films for PBS and over a dozen Fortune 500 companies, including not big ones, IBM, Coca-Cola, even Enron. But he has seen the light and is focusing his camera on our modern society and what drives us to worship everlasting growth, even in the face of overwhelming evidence that we've hit the limits to growth. Yeah, I want to hear about that from Dave Gardner, and also we'll find out how that plays into the upcoming 2 additional billion people that are expected to occupy our humble little planet Earth here over the next not too many years. Okay? Well, I think the awakening has begun, don't you? I really do. I'll tell you why I say that. Because now, all the stuff that we suspected was going on is going on. And it's being done just in this, just unabashedly. You got Gérard Depardieu, the very famous French actor guy. Funny guy. 64 years old. Going to accept his Russian passport from Vlad Putin himself. Because that 13% tax rate looks a little bit better than François Hollande's 75% tax rate. And Brigitte Bardot, yes, she's in a twist over a couple of elephants that it appears are, she's trying to rescue. So she's talking about getting her balalanka and her fur hat and getting on over to the east there. Isn't that interesting? It's like people are going to the seat of socialism, the former Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, where they've tried that already and found out this isn't working too good. We need to go a different direction. And so many of these other countries are just like, no, I think we should try that socialism thing. That seems to work pretty well. Really, where? But anyway, I digress. I do. It may interest you to know that more people were dispatched from this life, that is, killed with hammers and clubs than rifles. 2005, the number of murders committed with a rifle was 445, and the number of murders committed with hammers and clubs was 605. In 06, the number with a rifle was 438, the number with clubs and hammers, 618. So before long, it'll be no chisels, stone axes, hammers, nothing like that, nothing dangerous. You know, the thing about anybody that takes a karate class, it's like that thing about, see these hands, these are registered hands, these are lethal weapon hands. That was used to be, that's an ancient impress the girlfriend or impress somebody line, but apparently that's we're not too far off from that. And if you look around at some of these unbelievable dire predictions for 2013. It just, what I'm thinking is this, rather than go all gloom and doom, then what we'll do is we'll just help ourselves through this, because I don't know about you, I find numerology extremely interesting, and I cannot deny the coincidences. There's no such thing as coincidence. Well, sure, it is a coincidence. It's just a couple of things happening at the same time, maybe more than a couple of things. It's not like magic. But 13, whenever it shows up, it generally denotes change, at least for me personally. Now, Glynis McCants says combine the 1 and the 3 and you get a 4, which is kind of a security thing. It's like, let's hope so. And let me just go on here for just a minute. I'll try not to bore you with this, but look. Remember double down? We're hearing double down for a few weeks. Now we're hearing kick the can. There are a lot of things that are happening all at one time, a coincidence of events. We got Congress just can't get it together. No budget for 4 years. Fiscal cliff, we heard, until we're sick of the sound of it. Well, that's been postponed for a couple of months, which oddly enough corresponds with the timetable set out by people like Russ Baker, even George Hart and Paul Guercio, I want to say, Mike Hart, some people like that have all been saying somewhere around March or April, I'm thinking. And I'm like, really, that far off? Yeah, I think it's going to take till March or April. What happens if we default? And I predict we will. I predict you're going to see a default. And when that happens, there'll be a run on the banks. And the dollar will be the medium of exchange. However, be just like it was in the 30s. Nobody will have any. And blah, 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 blah. So I think as long as the powers that be can continue to keep us divided over all kinds of primarily emotional issues, either you got too much money or you've got the wrong religion or you've got the wrong political party or whatever, as long as we can remain divided, well, then they'll pretty much do whatever they want. They can and will do whatever they want. Notice that Congress has managed to do nothing except protect their raises, their perks, their health care, and so far, their jobs. There are a few constitutionalists up there that actually believe in the document. But most of them are just kicking the old can down the street. Now, how about this? United States District Court Judge Colleen McMahon hands down this ruling regarding basically the government's ability to take out whomever they want at whatever level, take out, you would like to ascribe to it, from just vaporize them with a drone to spirit them away, no charges, no warrant, no phone call, no lawyer, no notification as to where you are. You're just disappeared. And this is what this judge wrote. The Alice in Wonderland nature of this pronouncement is not lost on me, but after careful consideration, I find myself stuck in a paradoxical situation in which I cannot solve a problem because of contradictory constraints and rules. A veritable catch-22. I can find no way around the thicket of laws and precedents that effectively allow the executive branch of our government to proclaim as perfectly lawful certain actions that seem on their face incompatible with our Constitution and laws while keeping the reason for their conclusion a secret. I want to say it was Dickens wrote a book called Little Dorrit. And in Little Dorrit, there was a place called the Office of Circumlocution. Once an issue, paperwork, grievance, complaint got into that office, it just became another piece of paper in a whirlwind of paper, and nothing was ever done. Everything just went round and round and round, and oh, there are files here, and there are files there, and papers there, and stack there, but nothing ever gets done. Your complaint goes right in the tornado of nothing. And that's effectively what's happening now. So I would just submit to you, and this will be the end of it, that we had better stop staring at the forest fire like a bunch of deer and consider maybe fighting it, phone call, email, letter, something. Get the attention of your elected officials, and you're going to have to mobilize, because if you don't, And you're going to be sitting there wondering why you didn't. And maybe it's just me, but I've said my piece and I'm done. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take our first little break here and then come back with your telephone calls on John B's 1 year anniversary with the Saturday night Coast to Coast AM. Thank you very much for letting me be here. Thanks very much for being here tonight. We shall return. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Okay, well, I went on and on for a little while, so let's let wild card line number two, Sharon in Missouri. Why don't you come on the bridge and you talk for a while?
Hey, John. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Puzzled. I am puzzled. The last couple of weeks, I have been hearing on a few talk shows that Obama has made a video, has released it onto the internet, on his website.
Yes.
And he has been talking to mostly, I think, the young people, explaining what he has planned and all of this. But he is also taking campaign funds. Now, John, he's in his second term. What does he need campaigns for?
I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of strange stuff go on up there. I mean, this whole deal with and it sounds like we're picking on Democrats now. I couldn't care less, because I'm going to state it for the record. I find both sides equally useless. But exactly. But even this deal with Al Gore selling his current TV to Al Jazeera, I mean, he's a good businessman, no doubt about that. He managed to get the deal done before he got hit with extra tax. I can't blame him for that. However, this seems to violate the code of discretion somehow, because I think that they are unabashedly, not real pro-American as far as our initiatives overseas are concerned, particularly in the Middle East. So I don't know what he needs campaign contributions for. I you hear all kinds of things out there. And that's the problem with our enhanced communications capabilities now. Somebody can say one thing about just something that happened. I mean, for example, like this guy who donated some precious bodily fluids to a lesbian couple that wanted to have a baby, and then the couple split up, and the one with the baby decided to file for some sort of public assistance. So the local government came back and said, the guy who donated the precious bodily fluids is on the clothesline for the money. So you hear then you think, oh, this must be happening all over the country, but it's not. This is an isolated incident that got a lot of people's attention. So I don't know. I haven't seen the video. I mean, have you actually seen this video?
Have not. I have just heard, like I said, different talk shows, and they have been talking about what's with this video that he's released.
We're dealing in the hypothetical now, Sharon. I mean, that's kind of dangerous, because there are a lot of people listening. This video may not even exist.
When they were talking about the video, they were talking about they had seen it, and that it was weird that he was asking for campaign funds. I'm going to make a prediction, John. Okay?
Okay.
Sometime within the next 4 years, there is going to be either an incident where there will be a martial law incident, or there will be a campaign because of economic uncertainty or something, that people will start a groundswell to try and get Obama a third term.
You're liable to hear all sorts of things out there. I mean, I've heard little rumblings and rumors of that as well. And the fact is that the way that the legislature is behaving up there, with their indecision and ineffectiveness and this totally out of control debt that's going to have to be addressed sooner or later, absolutely nothing would surprise me. I mean, that's about all I can tell you. Thanks for the call, Sharon. I appreciate you very much. East of the Rockies up there in Buffalo. Done shuffled off to Buffalo. Roy, are you there?
How you doing?
Doing okay. What you got? Any predictions or prognostications?
I guess you could say that. I read a book last year. It's called The Day the Mississippi Ran Backwards. And apparently around 1812, there was an earthquake on the fault line down the Mississippi River. It heaved the ground up and actually stopped the flow of the Mississippi River and pushed it backwards, and it flooded some cities along the Mississippi at that time. And I thought it was a real interesting book because it talks about this fault line that not that many people think about. And you look at it now and you think, if that was to happen now, how many people would be killed because these cities are built right on the water's edge? I mean, it'd be like a tsunami. They wouldn't have any warning.
Well, did you hear about this tsunami bomb that apparently was tested way back a bunch of decades ago off the coast of New Zealand?
You know, I heard something about it, but I never really looked into it. But I could imagine if you dropped an atomic bomb out in the ocean somewhere like that, it would cause quite a tsunami.
Well, yeah, and of course, since Fukushima had its big problem, the people were saying, you know, somebody let off a bomb and caused that tsunami. It's like,
but I mean, can you imagine if the Mississippi River were to just suddenly run backwards because it couldn't flow downriver anymore because the ground heaved up? Where would all that water go out of the Ohio and Mississippi rivers?
Well, I expect it to go east and west.
I mean, can you imagine the mess it would make?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't think about it, but I read this book, and I thought you and George might be interested in that because it's a, you know, when it talks about it, and then you look at it, and you go, oh, my God, just the disaster it would cause.
What is the book?
It's called The Day the Mississippi Ran Backwards.
And who's it by?
I'm not at home right now. I'm on the road in my truck, but I'll have to send it to you. I'll have to get the information to send it.
I'll look it up. Thanks for the tip. I appreciate it very much. Be careful out there driving, and Happy New Year to you. Just, you know, check your six and have a happy 2013. And isn't that strange? It's even got such a strange ring to it. When it crossed into 2000, like, this is exciting. 2000. Then we got over it. 2001. It's the Space Odyssey year. Okay, 2010, the other Space Odyssey year. But when it gets to 2013, it's like you want to hear, you know, an Ed Wood style sound effect, you know, 2013. It's just odd. Well, we're there. We're in the future that all the scientifically minded fiction writers predicted. It's not normal, is it? Devante in Rogue River, Oregon. Would you be there, sir?
Hey, can you hear me?
Oh boy, I ever blow that one. Devante, yes, I can hear you real well. Sorry I called you sir.
I am a guy. I just have an unnaturally high voice.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Hey, I had called back a while in, like, December 8th. And I think it was you that I had talked to then. And it was about I was in my room reading one night, and I look out the window, and I see this weird green and purple pulsing light, and all of a sudden this weird shape like a Yeti shows up, and it has that oozing through its skin, like, and the ooze is casting the light.
And yes.
I'd seen it, and when I called back then, I said that I didn't know if I had fainted or not. Because there was, like, this big blank space where I didn't remember anything at all. And I don't know what happened, but I hit my head in a soccer game with some friends, and a lot of memories came back, kind of like reverse amnesia.
Yeah.
And it was like I'd stood up and somehow, like, moved through my wall and into my room, and I am, like, shouted something at it, and it just, like, barely touches me in the chest, and I go flying into my, like, the area where my bed is in my room. And
yes.
I hit my head then that it knocked me unconscious. And when I woke up, I was, like, in the mattress.
Okay.
And when I got out, I didn't need to, like, get help or cut myself out. I mean, I was, like, actually in there, like, I was sealed inside. I just, like, moved, and I phased right through the mattress, like I had absorbed some of the powers that the alien had had.
Gotcha.
And recently I'd gotten into a fight with my girlfriend, and also there's something else that I might have developed, and I had called her something unfavorable, and she turns around, and I can hear in my mind, "You filthy little stupid."
Oh, dear.
Bad word.
And that sounds kind of unpleasant. Listen, I hate to do this to you, but it sounds like this might take a while. We're going to have to take our little break here, but we'll have to pick this up at a later time when you call back, okay?
All right. My mind, though, she didn't say it.
Okay, good. All right, good. Well, Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, got a nice full bank of phones here. Y'all just hold your position, and we'll be back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, thank you very much. How the American Dream has been hijacked by growth, consumerism, waste, greed, and materialism. Dave Gardner will join us at the top of the hour, a little bit past. And we will discuss that not only people are overworked and unfulfilled, but growth-based agriculture and industrial practices are creating catastrophic planetary damage. All sorts of stuff, including oceanic dead zones and decimated fisheries and everything else. I just heard a report today, in fact, that to support the 2 billion additional people that we're expecting to occupy the planet over the next couple of decades, we will have to increase our food production by 70%. Is such a thing even possible? It sounds like as daunting a task as trying to beat down a $16 trillion deficit. You know, that stuff is not very interesting to a lot of people. They're like, oh, whatever. The thing about it is it's very serious, and it's going to be addressed. I still say you do it like any other company. You write off that interest. If the interest were to be written off of that 16 point whatever trillion dollar debt, I have a feeling it would go to somewhere around 5 or 6 real quick, because the interest just rolls over and rolls over and rolls over. It just never stops, just like that credit card bill you keep. And the problem is that we're borrowing money to service the debt. In other words, every month the bill is higher and we have to borrow more money just to pay the interest on the debt. I mean, it really is. It's a nightmare scenario. As far as our economy and the ability to go on and live the life that we've been used to, may not be exactly what you had in mind, but take whatever it is that you have and cut it by 50 or 60%, and that's quite possibly what we're looking at, unless we bring some intelligent attention to bear on these problems and maybe even employ some techniques that should have been employed all along. We simply cannot continue to spend money that we don't have. There's not enough production possible to satisfy that kind of a debt. Okay, more of your calls here in just a minute. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, let's take a few more of your telephone calls as we run up to the top of the hour, and we'll speak then with Dave Gardner. In the meantime, you could look at growthbusters.org. That is his website, growthbusters.org. And his film is Growthbusters Hooked on Growth. Let's see if we can make contact with wildcard line number one, Al in Augusta, Georgia. Al, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling.
I have to apologize. I don't remember the guest name or the host, but a few months ago you had a show and he was dealing with portion field energy and talking about everything in space. I've always been interested in space.
Oh, that's Hoagland. That's Richard C. Hoagland. Yeah, I talked to him a few weeks ago. And Captain Norrie talks to him all the time.
I would describe myself as a pre-amateur striving to be an amateur, but he hit a bell with me, and I'm thinking that all this interest in what energy is out there is causing the universe to spread apart, and they're saying dark matter and stuff. I believe it's actually portion field energy is going to be the dark matter, because according to his information, his field of study is everything creates energy, and when you have all these things together creating energy, they repel each other. And here a few years ago, they found the furthest object is actually expanding further and faster than they visualized or thought it would be. And I feel like that if you was to imagine a bullseye target, everything outside the outer ring, there's nothing. So anything on the outer ring, there's less resistance, so it would expand further and faster out from the center. But really, humans want to structure everything, and it's not basically a perfect circle. I feel like if you was to imagine a kid with a little toy making bubbles, a long elongated bubble, basically, I think that's the way the universe is. I mean, it's not a perfect circle with the center and everything expanding at equal rate, because we have millions of galaxies, more so in one section of the galaxy or the space than the others. And so there would be more energy expanding there and more resistance also. So I just feel like torsion field is going to find out to be the dark energy that they're looking for.
Well, look in your crystal ball a little bit there, Al, and tell me what do you see as coming down the road here in 2013 as far as, I notice the gas prices are going back up. Before long, they'll be up over $4 a gallon again, pushing $5. And if we were to go to some other kind of energy, how far off do you think we might be from anything that we could actually use? Because harnessing this stuff that Richard Hoagland studies, I don't know enough about it to know what that would entail. But you know, there's energy everywhere. It's just a question of collecting it or converting it.
Well, not only the problem of harnessing it would be the problem of storing it and being able to utilize it when you need it. But I don't see anything foreseeable myself for 30, 40 years, because again, you have all the big manufacturers or people. If you come up with a good idea, somebody's going to buy it out and keep it off the market because they want to continue on with their product.
Well, you may have something there. Happy and hopefully lucky 13 to you. And thanks very much for the call. Matthew,
appreciate it.
Take care, Albert. Matthew on wild card number 2 in Cleveland.
Hello, John.
How are you tonight?
Good, how are you?
Excellent, thanks.
Hi, what's going on? I just want to call about this information just needs to get out there. And I would say about 6 months ago, FBI raided at gunpoint a home in Portland, Oregon. And a young, I'm just going to say early 20s, female was arrested. And the FBI were looking for, they ransacked the entire house. They were looking for black clothing, flag-making materials, anarchist literature, and she was taken to a grand jury. And a grand jury is totally closed to the public. You're not allowed to have someone represent you. And as of October, she was sent to prison for not cooperating with them, with the grand jury.
Well, now, where was this reported? Was it reported in any of the local newspapers? Did it make TV?
No, not at all. You can Google, her name is Leah Lynn Plant, Plant with an E at the end, and there's a Wikipedia article on there, and you can go from there. But this kind of information just needs to get out there, and I don't hear it out, because if the FBI can just come into your house looking for clothing and literature, you know, this is supposed to be a free country. You should be able to read whatever you want and wear whatever you want, and not have to go to prison over it.
Well, yeah, it stands to reason, but, you know, I really, really am trying to stay away from, you turn this into one of those programs where it's like you just kind of rage against the machine all the time. But I got to tell you that it's pretty hard to do when you see all these various things that are happening that appear to be in stark contrast to what was laid out in the form of protections in the Constitution. It's just, beyond anything that I thought was possible. And yes. Apparently there is something coming up for a vote on, I want to say the 14th of this month. House Joint Resolution 15 has been set to committee on January 4th. It repeals the 22nd article of the amendment limiting the president to 2 terms. You know, the last time I think we had a 3-term president was FDR, and he didn't see out the 3rd term. Who knows? The fact of the matter is that you just have to verify the information that you get. You absolutely positively cannot take the mainstream media's, not even stuff that I say. I research it as well as I can, But I would invite anyone who hears any of this to, if it gets your attention, look into it yourself and verify whether it's true or false. Anybody can make a mistake. We try real hard not to. There's nothing worse than wandering off into an area where you make even a simple boo-boo, and it prejudices everything that you've said. So, you know, if that one detail must be wrong, then it all must be wrong. And that's, unfortunately, just human nature. Thank you very much for your call, Matthew. We'll look into that a little bit further. If you hear anything else, shoot an email to johnb@coasttocoastam.com, and I'll take it from there. Ingrid in Tucson, Arizona, wild card line number 3. Are you there, Ingrid?
Hello?
Hello yourself. How are you?
Hi, Toots. I finally get to hear you and talk to you. And you know what? There's a lot of negative things going out. And you know what? That's just the way it is. Why don't we get our head out of our ass, so to speak, and think positive, and also prepare my gardens, herbs in your house. So you can't do it in the front yard. Do it in the back. If you don't have a yard, do something in the kitchen. Go to places where they do grow it. In cities, they have neighborhoods where they have tall buildings and they grow plants. Go to your community. Get out of your house. Go and do. Stop complaining. Stop whining. By the way, I do like your Ed Wood, your little comments, except you forgot the fuzzy sweater. Another program, you had this thing. You had this music, Jacques, I don't know how you pronounce it, 1974 or something, Brielle is Alive and Well and Living in Paris.
Right.
But that war song, I love that song. I haven't heard that in years. I like your song tracks.
Got to keep it a little bit light. We got a little, we got some interesting music for you tonight. If they, I don't know why, but it's probably that pesky NSA again. I'll tell you, those guys. But typically every Saturday night, the internet starts acting really, really strange. The downloads and transmissions of various files are very slow, and the email box comes up really slow. And so it's nothing, I don't know where it's occurring, but it's occurring somewhere, and it occurs with monotonous regularity, so I can only assume that they're messing with us a little bit. But you know, you're right about something. A guy named Brandon Smith, had him on the program one time, wrote a very, very interesting piece called How to Win the War for Your Mind. And what you just mentioned about getting our head out into the sunlight and just kind of getting on with it, one of the things that he suggested, in fact, the number one thing, is do not fear hypothetical dangers. Fear is the weapon of choice when it comes to totalitarian proponents. Conquering armies and bureaucracies are notorious for exaggerating their strength and numbers in order to squelch the fighting spirit of those they intend to rule. So, when you're becoming an activist against a criminal establishment, it's very common to be the target of fear campaigns, and they're coming to us in many shapes and sizes. And speaking of guns, I hardly, you know, some of these reporters out there, I'm talking about you, Jerry Rivers, are just really shameless self-promoters, in my personal opinion. Nothing that I say is a what's that?
Find a snake eater. Hang with them, the CIA guys. Let me tell you, I live in Tucson. Anybody tries to attack Tucson, Texas, they're going to get a mouthful. They're going to be shot at. They're taken out. Let me tell you, all these people who are police officers, they're going to go home to their families. I don't think they're all going to side with these people. That's why these cowards are bringing the Chinese and the Russian soldiers to fight us. That's why they want us to get rid of our ammunition. I hate guns, but you know what? I think we need them. And this whole bull with that school, a year ago my husband told me that there's going to be a lot more incidents, just like that congresswoman. They did that, I've been hearing, because to get rid of the judge, he was too liberal. He was fighting against what their agenda was. It was all a front. All these people who were sick, they purposely picked these patsies. I don't care if it's true or not. Either way, we got to stop them from taking the guns. Do your victory gardens.
Well, the only thing that you can do about that is contact your elected officials and get as many fellow citizens as you possibly can into it. I mean, I thank you very much for the call, Ingrid. You rock, my dear. You know, I'm sorry, but I fail to see the wisdom. If there are 20 people who are victimized, I hardly see the difference between two 10-round magazines and two 15-round magazines. I mean, I just don't see it. If you want, I mean, what's the object of shooting is hitting. You know, these guns did not do these acts. It was a maniac and an idiot who did this. And it looks like it might be even something a little bit additionally to that. It's, you know, as soon as one of these tragedies, a crisis occurs, all this disinformation goes out. And a lot of it comes out of mainstream. And then the citizens get involved, and you get a little piece here and a little piece there. And by the time you actually have a cohesive picture of what probably happened, what the truth of the matter probably is, everybody's burnt out from anxiety in dealing with it. So they just don't deal with it because, oh, look over there. Here comes another crisis. And it's just, I really think it's, I think it's part of a coordinated effort to keep everybody distracted from what's really happening. And what's really happening is life that, as we've known it, with the monetary system and the American dream of owning your home, it's like, even after you pay your home off, now you've got several thousands of dollars a year in property tax. And you better pay it, too, or you'll find out just how much you own your own home. You know what I mean? All this stuff about, you know, oh, reverse mortgage this, and just, I mean, it's just so incredibly transparent that it is, in fact, a house of cards. Nobody really knows what to do with it. Nobody's about to write off the interest and just start over. Nobody's about to jail any unscrupulous lenders, bankers, or anything else. Just like that deal with the HSBC, they get busted red-handed handling drug cartel money. It's like, we're sorry. We'll pay a few billion dollars in fines. We're sorry, but can't prosecute them. Holder's Justice Department are not going to prosecute them because that's too big of a bank to bring down. I mean, well, if you bring that one down, a dozen others that are a little bit more responsible would probably take their place, but they, you know, it just sort of begs the question, well, do they really want the cartel money to, like, not flow in and out of the country anymore? Probably not. Big money in crime, everybody knows that. All right, let's talk to Tom real quick up in Montana. Tom, oh, probably pretty cold up there this time of year.
Yeah, it sure is, John, although we've had a couple nice days. It's been up in the 30s, so it's been better. I wanted to talk tonight about what happened to those poor innocent children up at Sandy Hook School. It's just horrendous.
Yes, it is.
I have to tell you, I do belong to the NRA and have for 30 years. And I make no apologies for that. I think there's a place in our society for guns. I read the Second Amendment, and I think there are valid reasons for having all kinds of guns, including the ones that have hand grips, you know, behind the trigger and stuff like that. The ones that they call assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. What's happening here is that Senator Feinstein is trying to allow the rich people to keep their assault weapons and high-capacity magazines by transferring them to something called National Firearms Act guns.
Yeah, where you got to pay a fee on each one of them by a tax stamp.
$200 a year tax per item.
I think it's just every one year. Time. They may be trying to do a yearly registration, but
they are. But normally,
NFA tax stamps are just one time only.
Anyway, so what's happening is that they want the rich people to have these guns, and they're trying to take them away from the poor people while she's busy up in the Senate giving millions to her husband's company and taking the weapons away from the poor people so they can't defend themselves. I think everybody needs to call their congressmen, senators, and say no weapons ban, because it's just a first step to take them all away from everybody, and I think it's the wrong thing. Thomas,
appreciate it, Tom. We're going to have to come up on the top of the hour. I hate to cut you short, but thank you very much for that input, and we'll just see what happens. We'll see who takes action and who doesn't. We'll see what we let them get away with and what we don't. Would not suggest letting them get away with too much more. All right, get ready for Dave Gardner. He's coming up next on Coast to Coast AM.